Readings last week had this focus on fraternal correction. It's a difficult thing for most of us to do, even in the best of circumstances, because we don't want to go out there on the end of that limb. But what happens if we're rejected? Not only by the one that we're trying to speak with, but also by their friends and families. In a small town, how often are those friends and family our friends and families? And so oftentimes these things are buried and pushed under until it's too late. So if we can offer corrections, if we can learn how to speak with each other without falling into a yelling and screaming match, having discussions based in love, we can find the path to peace and understanding, even if we can't find the path to 100% agreement. But there's another side to that, because if you put that on one side of the coin and you flip it, the other side of that coin is today's readings. Because along with that correctness is forgiveness. And we see that forgiveness is and can be very difficult. Because when we've been offended, it's personal, isn't it? It just comes against me. And so offering forgiveness can be a challenge. Receiving forgiveness can be a challenge. Because forgiveness is really a matter of the heart. Who am I? Who is my neighbor? Who are we as a people, as a church, as a nation? These things we all need to really delve into our hearts and answer. But our readings can show us a path. In our first reading from Sirach, this comes from the Old Testament wisdom literature. And we see so much of this in the New Testament as well. But here Sirach is telling us, wrath and anger are hateful things. Can anyone nourish anger against his neighbor and expect to be forgiven? Remember your last days. Put aside enmity. Cease from sin. Do not hate your neighbor. Forgive, and your sins will be forgiven. These things speak to both internal and external offenses. And it is not really about being offended, because every one of us offend at one time or another. We've all been offended by others. So what do we do with that? Do we cling to the hurt? To the injustice? Wrath and anger are emotional responses to these events in our life. Do we let them then rule our hearts? Sirach tells us that forgiveness isn't about a social order. It isn't about being generous of soul. It's about this reality that we are all fallen. We are all sinners. We have all offended another. We have all offended God at some point in our life. And we need to be willing to forgive so that we can receive that forgiveness, so that we can be healed. Jesus expands on that in our parable for today. The servant that owed this great debt, and if you read it in Greek, it gives the amount, 10,000 talents, years and years of a salary, a wage. Masters and kings in that day had the power over death and life. So he was well within his authority to demand that this man, his wife, his children, all his property be sold. The other man owed only a few hundred talents, just a pittance. But both were in debt. Yes, there's no doubt about that. Neither one was able to repay it back. There's no doubt about that either. But when this payment is demanded of them, they don't ask for their debt to be forgiven. They ask for patience. Be patient with me and I will repay you in full. They seek understanding. And the king responds with mercy towards his subject. But the other man who had just received this mercy turns against his brother. Where are our hearts? Are we open to being forgiven? Are we offering forgiveness? We are called to forgive. How often? For the ancient Jews, three times. One person offended you three times, you're good. You can keep track. So Peter thinks he's being generous. Lord, how often? Seven times? And our Lord says, no, 77 times, or depending on the translation, 70 times seven times. But the seven for the ancients pointed to the infinite. It was this perfect number for them. And so Jesus is telling us, you have to forgive an infinite amount of times if they come to you and ask. So where does forgiveness begin? Does it begin with the one who has offended, seeking to be forgiven? Or does it begin with the one who has been with the offender? Either one. Forgiveness is a choice. It's a matter of the will. And the will is stronger than emotions because our emotions can knock us off course. They can blow up in just a moment's heat. But it is the will that really directs our lives. Forgiveness is a strength and power and control. So how do we begin? Especially when we've been offended and it is personal and it is deep and we are injured. Prayer is a good place to start. Even offering masses for others. Christ tells us to pray for those who persecute you. Prayer transforms us from being a victim into being an intercessor. We begin to see others in a new light. We begin to see them as they truly are, broken, hurting brothers and sisters in need of healing. But then we also need to learn how to accept forgiveness and pray for ourselves also. Christ's cross is the source of God's mercy and forgiveness. And we need to enter into that mercy so that we can truly open our hearts, receive His grace, receive His forgiveness so that we can be free. We need God's mercy to transform us, no matter how long it takes. It might even take a whole lifetime. But with these two, we take new meaning when we pray the Our Father. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So similar to our reading that we had in Sirach today. Forgive your neighbor's injustice. Then when you come and pray, your own sins will be forgiven. Could anyone nourish anger against another and expect forgiveness from the Lord? And lastly, we know that divine justice will prevail. Forgiveness is not an easy way out for those who try to run roughshod over others. It doesn't mean that we place ourselves again and again in danger of being hurt, either physically or spiritually. But we cannot be like that unjust servant, praying to receive God's forgiveness and yet holding our neighbors accountable to human justice. We carry so many burdens on our shoulders, refusing to let go of the past. We are called to look forward, not to what was, but to what can be. Forgiving, being forgiven, and as difficult as these are, they go hand in hand. And when we let go of that resentfulness, when we let go of that vindication, that frustration, it's like spiritual surgery, cutting that tumor off of our heart so that we can be healed, so that we can truly begin to live. This is something that every one of us needs in our lives. It's something that our nation needs as well. You don't have to look far to see these things going on in our nation. When those in authority offend those who they are called to serve, in civil society and in the church. Look at St. Louis this past weekend. This ugly sin of sexual abuse continues to pop up in our church. Look at our political situation, the right versus the left. You can hardly even have a conversation with someone who really truly disagrees with you. Where is my heart? We need to look inside to see where I stand. Can I pray and forgive with those for those who I don't agree with? Or do I see the need for revenge and for justice, human justice? Do I see hurting men and women in need of God's mercy as much as I am? Do I see myself as one who is hurt and vulnerable? Can I pray for others? Can I pray for myself? Can I forgive 70 times 7? This is too much for human strength alone. There's only one answer, and that is to pray with Christ upon His cross. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. And to seek God's patience in our hearts through His divine mercy and offer that prayer that our Lord gave to St. Faustina when He gave us this beautiful chaplet. Lord Jesus, I trust in You.